On Sunday evenings, we've been looking at what are we sowing? Boy, the Bible's got a lot to say about sowing, and sure glad about that. By the way, in church this evening, you're right where you're supposed to be, right? And ever been out of place, ever been somewhere you're not supposed to be, you feel so uncomfortable, and you're right where you're supposed to be tonight. Just wanted to remind you of that. God will bless you for that. Psalm 126, again, just a psalm of the Jewish nation, the nation of Israel. It says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Notice the heathen noticed. The Lord has done great things. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. As we start out this evening looking at what are we sowing? Last week we looked at some of the responsibilities of our sowing. We all have to sow, and the guarantee with that is we will reap if we faint not. There it is. We've got to keep going. Now here tonight, the great, great picture given to us of an individual that's sowing. Sometimes sowing is difficult. And the picture here is of an individual sowing in tears. It's hard. It's difficult labor. But, he says again, he will doubtless come again, rejoicing one, and bringing his sheaves with him too. So he has his sheaves. This is what he sowed. This now is what he's reaping. Isn't that wonderful? This is his. This is what he's done. He did not steal it from anyone else. He did not go and beg, borrow, or steal from someone. This is his work. Just a reminder as we start out tonight that if we sow now, it may be painful. There may be tears involved, but there will be, notice, we'll reap in joy. Anytime you go forward in an attempt to grow in any area, it's usually an uphill battle. It's usually a difficulty. It's something hard to do, isn't it? You watch some of these bodybuilders and other people, boy, they put in hours and hours. They eat the right thing. They're very disciplined, aren't they? And what's the result of it? Well, okay, right? We see the result. When you think about that, the effort and things they put into it. Oh, I think about those that have tried to learn something of an instrument or some kind of a talent. Those of you, every one of you have a different talent in the field you work in. It didn't happen overnight, did it? It was a challenge. It was painful at times, but you pressed on and you get to reap in joy. Now, this person in particular, they're talking about the nation of Israel. They sowed in tears. We know that. Their captivity had come. And they pleaded with the Lord that the Lord would turn the captivity. The Lord would take them out of that captivity and put their feet back on the good ground. And he did just that. And the heathen took notice, one. And we see how that they rejoiced that the Lord had done great things for them. Your sowing is noticed by other people. Isn't that interesting? It's noticed by other people. And they see the effort you put into it. You think about raising children or even working at your marriage. It's not an easy task, is it? Raising grandchildren or whatever of that case you may be in. And you think about the challenge that comes with those things, but the result of it is that later on you'll reap in joy. You'll reap in joy. And you know the definition of a grandchild. A grandchild is that God's gift to you for not killing your own children. Isn't that wonderful? You get grandchildren. It's a gift. So you think about this tonight. Now, we're going to go several places here, if you will. So we're going to continue. And turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 6 here. Proverbs, just keep going forward. Proverbs, because I wanted you to notice with me, not only we just saw the reward, we're going to see now we can sow the wrong things. We can sow the wrong way. Proverbs 6, verse number 14. Forwardness is in the heart, or in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth, what? Discord. Now, discord is that which basically is division among people. You're dividing people. You're causing discord. Verse 15, therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. Broken without remedy. What a challenge to think about that we can sow the wrong thing. I'm good at sowing the wrong things, as I said last week. That's the easy part. Man, it's easy to sow that stuff. Sowing to the flesh, as Paul said in Galatians, you can sow to the flesh, you can sow to the spirit. It's easy to sow to the flesh. Man, that comes natural. I have no problems. In fact, I enjoy it. It brings pleasure to me. But sowing to the spiritual side of it, that's the difficulty. Everything is the opposite from the world. The world pushes infidelity. What does the Lord or the Spirit push? Right? We see all of these things, the opposite from God. And he says here, we must be cautious. Here is an example of somebody who sows not sparingly, who sows not to the Spirit, but sows discord among individuals. He's sowing discord among people. And we must be careful in that regard. Now, continue down to verse 19. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Here it is. He's sowing discord among, now he says, brethren. We can sow discord among people, but among brethren is where we get, he's speaking of the congregation, the men, the believers. The discord that we can sow among believers is something we must be careful of. By the way, the adversary is working tirelessly in our church, not on the outside, not from unbelievers. They're not beating our doors down. Where is he working? From the inside out. He wants to cause and sow discord, doesn't he? Right here where we are, from within. And he wants that to happen. He does that in the life of a human being. He comes and causes a cancer within us to start from within that then works its way out. And then we spill it over to the people around us, don't we? And we hurt the ones directly around us. And understanding all of that, that's what he wants to do. He's a deceiver, as we saw on Wednesday evening, that Antichrist will come in the spirit of Satan, and he will what? Deceive and then cause delusion. Deception brings delusion, and delusion always brings destruction to an individual. Delusion means they actually believe what they're being told. Actually, they're delusional. And you think about now the discord that is sown not only by a wicked person like this, but to, and he says, in among the brethren. He's a false witness, and he speaks lies. Lies, according to the Bible, are of Satan and by Satan. He is a deceiver. Deception, it's a lie. That is his MO. That's what he does. Right? We should never be caught up in that. Now, we will from time to time. We will sin, but that is something that's very clear for us to avoid. Now, thinking through this, not only are we to sow in tears, reap in joy. There's the gift. We will one day reap. And Paul says, if we faint not. Here's some warnings to us. And we could go throughout the book of Proverbs talking about sowing the wrong thing. But these two primary verses here talk about we sow discord. We're dropping seeds there of doubt. We're dropping that seed there among the brethren of what? Maybe insecurity. We say something here or there or do something here or there that may cause others to get a little nervous, to get a little bit insecure about themselves. What are we doing? Discord is developing all around us, okay? Now, we'll continue. We think about, and we've read before, Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. What's he say? Sow in righteousness, right? Sow in righteousness. Sow in the things that are right. God's righteousness. By the way, not your own righteousness, God's righteousness, his standard by which he is set forth, what he has done. That's where we sow. We sow where we're supposed to sow. God lays out the soil or the ground for us, and he points us in that direction and tells us to sow. You're not here tonight on accident. By an accident, you're not. There's no coincidences with God. There's none. A man I heard just talk recently talked about fate, and he was trying to describe fate for us. Now, there's an element to that we understand, fate, but we don't really believe in fate. We believe in divine providence or intervention or however you want to say it. He's talking about fate. And oh, how all the things just orchestrate together and align in the sky and all the planets align and all these things come together. I thought about that and I thought, man, that guy is so confused. You and I don't believe in that. Now, what are we doing? He points us in the right direction. He shows us where to go. He shows us what to sow. By the way, don't forget, he provides the seed. He gives us all that we need. Now we sow it. He expects from each one of us a little bit of effort. He could sow the seed wherever he wants to. But he says in the New Testament, Jesus gives the great parable. What's he say? The sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, he reached in his bag, he threw it out. He reached in his bag, he threw it out. Now, what are you sowing? And I'm glad you asked that. Now, can you find with me the little book of Haggai? Haggai, near the end, let's see if I can find it, of your Old Testament. Because we're going to look here and see. He talks about us sowing and reaching into a bag that has holes in it. Bags that have holes. Talking about how we're sowing. We're trying to attempt to sow. Has anyone found it yet? I'm still looking. Oh, there it is. There it is. I was wondering, when am I going to find it? Haggai. Haggai chapter 1, if you're there. Notice what he says. It's very interesting. He says in verse 2, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." They're saying, "Lord, it's not time to build the house." Notice they're trying to tell God what to do. "Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye that dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lay waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little." There's our own effort. "Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes in it." With holes. He's bringing in his wages into a hole with into a bag with holes in it. What's he say? It's fallen out. You ever? I mean, that's how my bank account is. The money goes in. We don't have any money. What happened to our money? Where'd the money go? It's like that, isn't it? It's falling out as you're walking away. It's just falling right out the backside of that bag. You think, notice this, you assume that you're sowing, you assume that you're doing, and this is exactly what the world does tonight. It sows much and brings in little. Man, it's always sowing. Busy, busy, all the time, doing all this, doing, and what's it? It's bringing in very little. It's trying to draw in. "Ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink." They seek after these things and they're never satisfied. More money doesn't bring more happiness. More things doesn't bring more happiness. What's it doing? Causes worse. It's falling out of the bag. He says you misprioritized God. You're more concerned about your sealed houses. That word sealed there means ornate or beautiful. You're concerned about these beautiful homes. It's all sealed and decorative. And you don't care about the house of God. By the way, again, I know you do this, but prioritize the house of God. Prioritize the house of God. "This is not the time," they said. It's not the time. It's not the time. So he says in verse 5, "Consider your ways. Consider your ways. Where and what are you sowing? You've sown much, but in the wrong direction." Or we could say, sown much, but in the wrong field. You've sown all this, but it's in the wrong field. That's outside of God's will, isn't it? That's such a challenge. You ever live for the Lord for any length of time or done something for the Lord, and you know that you didn't seek the Lord first, and you went forward, and you thought, man, Lord didn't really bless that. The Lord didn't really go before me and provide because I didn't seek Him first. And you may have had success in that, but in the wrong way, in the wrong direction. What's the time? The time is now. Consider your ways. Think about what you're doing. Are you sowing? And when you go to reap, is it with a bag with holes in it? Oh, there's so much more here we could look at in this book. Well, we won't. Okay. So now we're going to go to, if you will, Matthew 6:26. Matthew 6, as we're making our way here, just making our way through the Word of God down the line. Matthew 6:26. You know probably where I'm going with this. Matthew 6 and verse 26. Again, Jesus speaking in the great parable, or the great Sermon on the Mount, excuse me, gives several parables. He says in verse 26, "Behold the fowls of the air." We talked about this morning that they sow not, neither do they reap. In the Gospel of Luke, he says, "Consider the ravens." Consider the ravens. He says, notice they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Excuse me, "but your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they?" Are you not much better than they? Notice several things here. First of all, they sow not. They don't put forth any effort. Neither do they reap, neither do they go out at the appointed time, nor gather into barns. There's savings. There's storing up. There's preparing for a rainy day, if you will. They don't do any of that. No. They don't do any of that. They don't store up and keep a bunch of money in a savings account. They give it all to the church. Amen? I just woke up a couple of you. I'm just kidding. There's Pastor talking about money again. No, let's think about it. Notice what he's saying. And God will often do this to us. The Lord often will do this to us. He points us to things that we look at every day and don't even see it. We watch these birds every day. Every day. And he says, you see those? Consider those. Because I want you to see something. They don't sow, neither do they reap. God provides for them. The Lord feeds them. Now are we to sow? We sow. We sow what we're supposed to sow. We go forward. We look at the responsibility that we have in sowing. Let me say three primary areas that you should sow in. Your time, your talent, and your treasure. Those three areas ought to be primary areas in your life that you're sowing. I mean, you're setting down and you're truly sowing seeds for that because you want to reach the dividends of those three things. You want to reap in those three areas one day. Your time. Where is your time? As he says there in Haggai, is it time now? They say, no, it's not time yet. Well, what watch are you following? What clock are you looking at? Is it God's or yours? No, it's God's time. You follow his watch. Your time, is your time given to God? Is your time prioritized for God? Prioritized. Heard one of our people recently talk about and said that they were invited to something on a Sunday morning. And she made to the effect of that, kindly let them know, I can't do that. I have church. And they weren't too happy with it. And I thought, man, praise the Lord for that. But you talk about the time. I'm talking to some more depth, in depth of that. Your time. Your time is very limited. Our time, the Bible, you should go through and take your concordance and look up the word time, T-I-M-E, in your Bible. It's amazing what the Bible talks about time. The God of eternality, which means no time, he has no beginning or end, he puts time on human beings, doesn't he? Isn't that fascinating? He puts time on everything. There's a time to everything. There's a time to sow. There's a time to every season, Ecclesiastes talks about. A time to sow, time to reap, time to cry, time to not cry, time to be happy. All of that. He's talking about time. Can I encourage you to sow your time properly? Because one day we'll have no more time. No more time. It'll all be over. And you'll say, I woulda, coulda, shoulda. No more time. Can I have a few more? No more time. Your time appointed. Can I encourage you with your talents? We've all been, and we've gone through this before, but we've all been given specific talents. We all have certain personalities about us. We all are different. Praise God for that. If everyone in this church were just like me, what kind of church would this church be? It wouldn't be a very good church. I know that for me. Oh, man. You think about, but you understand God's given you certain talents to use, not for self, for Him, for His glory. Are you using it for Him? Are you implementing the talent into your daily life? God uses talent for me. I'm good at communicating with people. Use that. I'm not good at communicating. Okay, figure something else out. What else do you got? You're good with kids. Can you run a vacuum? For some reason, every time it's time to vacuum, my back acts up. I don't know what it is. Just kidding. Can you do the dishes, honey, tonight? I would, honey, but boy, oh, my back is hurting me tonight. But you didn't do anything today. Oh yeah, okay. But you think about the time, the talents that we have. The talent, using them for God, sowing your talents, honing in your talents. Let me say here quickly, your treasures, our treasures. Oh, my friends, our treasures, as we won't take it with us. Miss Teresa was joking with me today. Not going to take it with me. Not going to take anything with us. And you and I, we know we ought to be careful and wise with our finances. We ought to have money stored up in savings. We ought to have those things. Yeah, I know that. And all of you are so clear on that. You work so tirelessly, so hard every day. Praise God for you. You're such a testimony at your workplace or around your family. Some of you that are retired. But you think about, are you using your treasures for the work of God? God, what could I do? How could I help? How could I invest into your work, your way for your glory. Okay, now let's close it out here and we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9, notice with me here, just looking through about what are you sowing? How are you sowing? 1 Corinthians 9, as Paul is really helping this church in a lot of ways, he says in verse 11, 1 Corinthians 9, 11, if we have sown into you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather, nevertheless we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. He makes clear to this church and he says, we've sown to you spiritual things. We put the seed out, spiritual seed, and what we're getting in return is carnal. What's grown up from that is carnality, unspiritual. You think about, for me, as I preach and teach and try to preach and teach exactly what the Lord has given to me, my goal is that I do not reap later carnal things from a congregation or from people. Us as parents and those of you that help with your grandkids, you think you're sowing the spiritual. You pray to God you don't reap the carnal. After all you've done, after all you've prayed, after all you've invested, and you reap what? Back what? The carnal. The carnal. This church had disappointed Paul in more ways than one. And one of them was that Paul came and poured his heart out to this church and preached to this church only to get a letter from them later that said, Paul, everything's falling apart. Paul, everything's going to you know where. It's a mess. In fact, it's just so sickening where there's things being done inside the church that aren't even named outside of the church in the carnal world, the ungodly world. My friends, should we reap those carnal things? God forbid, Paul would later say. You and I, as we've been invested, by the way, somebody has invested into your life. I don't know for you who it was, mama, daddy, grandma, grandpa, somebody, a pastor somewhere. They have invested into your life. They may be gone now. They may be in heaven. They may be, you know, a distance away somewhere. They've invested into your life. And they're not looking for a thank you or a pat on the back. What they want from you, and they may not even know this or say this, but what they want from you and from me is what? They want to reap spiritual. And John speaks to that effect and he says what? I have no greater joy than to what? See and know and hear that my children, spiritual children, are walking in truth. Not that they're making money, although that's good. Not that they're successful, that's good. Not that they're healthy and have a big, nice family and everything on the hill, everything looks great. No, you want to know, hey, they're poor and they don't have much, but praise God, they know the Lord as their Savior and they're serving Christ today. And you think about that, that's what Paul says. Should we? Now you and I have a responsibility. Those that have invested into our lives and sown the seed of spiritual things, should they reap carnal things? No, God forbid. They would reap spiritual things. And we would say one day when we stand before Christ and one day when we get to be with those loved ones in heaven and we get to lock arms with those people, we can say gladly, thank you for investing into my life. Thank you for sowing the spiritual things. I hope I made you proud. I didn't do very good all the time. I wasn't the best person. I wasn't the best follower of Christ. I fouled up a lot. But I want you to know, I tried my best. And I hope I did you proud. I hope I did you proud. Now, let me flip over to 2 Corinthians real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 as well. And we'll close out here with this. 2 Corinthians 9. As Paul writes his second letter, you know, to the church at Corinth, this is more of an encouraging letter than a rebuking letter, if you will. And he says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 6, this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And notice verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Thanksgiving to God. He says, he that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. Sparingly, very, very, you're tight. You're very cautious. You're very, you don't do much. I'll do the bare minimum. The bare minimum. I'll serve God the bare minimum. I'll give to God the bare minimum. Well, you'll reap that way. Sowing and reaping is not just a biblical principle, although it is originated with God. It's a principle in the world, isn't it? It's a principle in business. Those of you that went to college, you know that. Any type of business, economics, any of it, sow and reap. Sow and reap. You invest this much, you're hoping to reap more, but you have to put in this much to get this much out. It goes all across the board. And Paul says very clearly, you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. How you invest into God and into His Word and into the things of God. How much time you spend in your family around the Word of God. How much time you invest both physically but financially into the house of God and into the things of God. Some folks asked me just a while back about their finances. What can we do better with our finances? And I tried to point out that fact of this very principle of sowing and reaping, and that God has required us to give back to Him. The 10% is an Old Testament commandment. And God says, any income you bring in, 10% comes back to me. Well, Jesus Christ came in the New Testament and He talks about something brand new no one had ever heard before called grace giving. And that's giving out of your heart, way above the 10%. And you think about that. When you prioritize your finances and the things of God, you will see the results of that. And every one of you are nodding because, I hope you're not falling asleep, but you know that that's the truth. That's the truth. You bring in a certain amount, you can't afford to give it to the Lord. It's hard. It's difficult. A couple of you have mentioned that. Man, it's hard to do that. You look at your ledger at home or whatever you do, your QuickBooks or Excel sheet or whatever, and you go, man, that's not going to work out this month. But you say, by God's grace, we're going to keep God first. And God has always supplied your need, hasn't He? And bountifully, by the way. I heard one pastor put it, and I thought it was so spot on. He said, we're in debt. Some people came to him and said they're in debt. He said, well, you're going to have to give your way out of it. You're going to have to give your way out of it. It means you're going to have to just give to God. Give to God. He'll get you out of that. Most of that debt, you know, is our own fault. But thinking through this. Now, not talking just about that. Talking about our lives. We're sowing where you sow an emphasis, you'll reap a harvest. Where you sow an emphasis, you'll reap a harvest. You sow an emphasis at home with your kids about spiritual things, you're going to reap a harvest there. What we do in moderation, our kids will take to excess. You've heard that before. We allow a little thing in moderation here. Well, our kids will take that and do it to excess. But where we sow an emphasis, we're going to reap a harvest. Sowing that in our homes, sowing that in our marriage, sowing that in our lives, my friends, I'm telling you. You sow towards purity, you're going to reap purity. You sow towards these things, we can go on and on. But notice what he says. God loves a cheerful giver. Not grudgingly, not necessity. Well, I guess I'll sow, I have to, because I don't want God to curse me and strike me with lightning today. I guess I'll go and do it. No, God wants a cheerful giver. He's able, notice, to make all grace abound toward you. Always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the gold and silver in every mine. What you have in your life right now is a gift and is on loan to you from God. Isn't it? It's on loan. You don't own anything. Nothing is my own. Oh, we know that. Isn't that wonderful? God says, Tim, I'll let you have that. You can borrow that. Well, Lord, you know it's mine. Lord, you know, don't mess with that, Lord. That's mine. And God says, no, it's not. Actually, that's mine. I'm letting you steward that or manage it. But I can get rid of you at any time. I can get rid of you at any time. And letting you know that. And understanding that. He's able to make all grace abound. Can I encourage you to pray for the grace of God to abound in your life and in every aspect of your life? Okay, I have a few more verses, but we'll wrap it up there. As we think about the sowing, are you sowing in the right areas? I want to encourage you to sow bountifully. Bountifully. Because, my friends, the Bible doesn't lie. God doesn't lie. He doesn't just throw something out there and say, we'll try it and see if it works. It's a guarantee. And we know it, as we said last week in Galatians 6. He says what? Ye shall reap if you faint not. If you faint not. Are you staying true? Stay focused. It's not easy. It's not easy to serve the Lord at times. It's not easy to give back to Him. It's not easy to sow. It's very difficult. But the reaping. See, the Bible speaks, and it's a unique book because it speaks and it turns something on within the human being that we're not born with. We are not born, nothing innate within us that gets us to look to the future. Everything within us and around us in society pushes us to look at right now, doesn't it? Right now. What are we going to eat? What are we going to do in 5 minutes? Everything's now, right? Now you're looking forward to Monday and Tuesday. You know, okay, well, in 5 years and 10. But the Bible is unique that it turns something on within the human being, unlike anything else in the world, that gets us to start thinking about eternity. And as soon as you open this book up, and the moment you got saved, I pray, someone shared the gospel with you, one of the first things they said was, do you know that you're a sinner? Okay. And because of that sin, it separates you from God. And when you die, you will spend eternity, your soul will spend eternity somewhere, one of two places. So immediately we start thinking not about tomorrow, we start thinking about eternity, don't we? Isn't that amazing? And the Bible speaks about sowing. Sowing. Why would I invest right now into something that will happen in 25 years from now? Right? 35 years from now? 10 years from now? Whatever it is. The Bible is unique in that, and it gets us to think about things of the future, the eternity that's coming. And we're looking ahead to that great day. As I said, I've shared the gospel with several people, and I know you have as well. But one of the things that they usually will respond to me with is I say, have you ever thought about where you're going to go when you pass from this earth? And usually, 9 times out of 10, they don't go, I think about that every day. What do they say? No, I've never thought about that. What are they thinking about? Now. They don't want to think about that. The world doesn't get them to think about that. The world pushes them to think about now, doesn't it? Now, now, now. You need to indulge now. You need to get involved now. You need to perform that now and do that now. That's what his Bible's talking about. Are you sowing? Are you sowing towards eternity? And again, I need to remind you that one day we will stand before Christ. He will hand out the gifts. He will hand out the rewards, the crowns that we'll win. And one of them will be that we sowed sparingly. We sowed, bountifully. We avoided sowing sparingly. We focused on that which is eternal. And because of that, we're investing into heaven. We're investing into that day we stand before Christ. Again, folks, we may not all meet together next week. Some of us may not be here next week, right? That's just the reality of life. Some of us may not make it through Wednesday. And what to think about. Am I sowing this week towards that which is what matters, the eternity, trying to get our children to think about that eternity. It's hard to talk about, to children especially, but about the day they're going to die, isn't it? But you get them thinking, and they think, well, okay. I'm prepared for that. I'm ready for that. I don't want to kneel by the bedside of a lady who's sedated, who can't communicate. That's difficult. I want to know, I want her to respond, yes, Brother Tim, I know I'm saved. Yes, I prayed that prayer, amen. That's difficult. We need to invest now into the future, into eternity. Okay, Lord, thank you for this opportunity tonight. I praise you for your grace and thank you for your goodness. I thank you for these folks that have made church such a priority. I know they're sowing in the right areas, Lord, and I thank you. But Lord, we need help in that. We get so sidetracked. I know I do. And just daily, so many things coming at us. We have so many responsibilities that we have in marriages and raising children and financial things and workplace environments and just 1,000 other things. Lord, help us to focus in on what's right and to sow in the right areas. And where we do, Lord, sow an emphasis, it's guaranteed we're going to reap a harvest. in that area. We want to do that. Strengthen us, God, against the attacks of this adversary that we face every day, the wiles of the devil, the darts that he throws at us. Help us to apply the armor that we need. And God, direct us and protect us, Lord. And God, we do thank you. Help us to keep our eyes focused on eternity and not on the here, now, and now. And we thank you for your precious word to guide us, for the Holy Spirit to help us. Lead us now, Father, and direct us, intercept, and Lord, work in our lives this week. Point us in the direction of folks that we may possibly be able to share the gospel with or reach and invite them to church. Give us your wisdom in that to be an instrument that you can use. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen.